Hello, 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 and welcome to another cracking edition of the Geeks of Doom Roundup on Geeks of Doom. I'm Andy Cercini. I'm also known as Mr. Babyman amongst my social media circles. And my wonderful co-host here is Greg Davies, who is known as CGT2099 amongst his social media circles and online. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm sitting here ready and willing to go with my tinfoil hat on, and we're ready to rock.
Oh, boy. So, I don't know if I'm ready for this one.
Well, yeah, we're swapping things around on a little bit. We usually kick off with movies, but I'm gonna get Andy to kick off with music today, because I've got a bit of a tinfoil hat about my trailer selection, so mm-hmm. I didn't want to tarnish the beginning of this episode. Now, the other thing I want to mention is, before we do jump into our content, Andy.
Yeah.
By the way, I neglected to say dilly gaff to you, my friend Andy Sorcini.
Yes, well, thank you very much.
This may be, possibly, the last Geeks of Doom roundup you hear for a few weeks. It's possible.
Yes, depends on... Let us know what it... Tell us what it depends on.
Well, see, the Geeks of Doom roundup is recorded on the same night at the same time that the TARDIS blend is scheduled to be recorded. And at the moment, we have no idea...
I'm toasting to the TARDIS blend.
There you go. We have no idea when the new season is going to start. There's been no official announcement yet. The rumors seem to indicate it's going to be the 25th of April, of August, I should say. Which means that that's only 2 weeks away. And what we wanted to do was the week before, do a bit of a preview podcast of the TARDIS blend, a bit of a countdown to the whole premiere of Season 7 or Series 7 of the new Who. Sadly, we can't tell you whether we're going to do that next week or not. So next week, there will be a podcast. We're just not sure whether it's going to be this one or that one. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to let our listeners know, because I'm sure there's quite a bit of crossover there of people that enjoy listening to the TARDIS blend as well as the Geeks of Doom roundup. If you're a TARDIS blend fan, you might be in luck next week. If you're a Geeks of Doom roundup fan, you might also be in luck next week. We really don't know. We're going to wait and see where Stephen Moffat throws the cards on the table.
Right. Right, but until then, we got another cracking round of music and movie trailers and stories to tell you about.
Oh, and stories as well. Yeah. Stories. We got some great stories to harp on about today.
Now, I wanted to start it off with. Now, I know, Greg, that you are a big metal fan. That's what you're all about. And I appreciate metal too. I happen to be more of an electronica fan, you know, a contemporary or alternative music fan myself. And so I figured today the best way for those two tastes to intertwine is by way of our good buddy Eric Calderon, also known as E-Rock, who is one of the hottest shredders around, and he's the guy that does all these awesome pop culture metal versions of these pop culture themes and songs, just basically whatever's out in the zeitgeist, he'll craft a rock and metal version of it. And you're familiar with his work, Greg.
Oh yeah, I love Eric's work. I'm a huge fan of what he does. He has as a guitarist, he has a high level of adaptability in terms of being able mm-hmm. to pull off some of the most unbelievable things. Like I shared a link with you last week, Andy, and I think we'll put this in the show notes as well for people to check out. But he did his own heavy metal version of one of the themes from Requiem for a Dream. And it was just phenomenal. He pulls it off brilliantly. I've seen him do some great movie. We played a Doctor Who one on here, didn't we?
Yeah.
And he's done Batman. And Eric Calderon's music taste is right up the alley of our readers and listeners at geeksofdoom.com. without a doubt.
Yes. And the one I want to showcase today is he has a medley here of Daft Punk tunes that he likes, and I also want to play that as well. Basically what you're going to hear is a you're going to hear Defunk followed by Robot Rock, Derezzed, and Around the World / Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger in this kind of epic medley. I don't know how much of this we'll play. Maybe we'll just play the whole thing. I don't know. It's not like where it's like 5 minutes long. What do you think, Greg? It's up to you.
Oh, I think we play the whole thing. Yeah, this is not a problem. He's got we can put the links to his iTunes page and stuff like that there. So
all right. Well, without further ado, let's get it started. Here's Eric Calderon, E-Rock, playing Daft Punk meets heavy metal.
We'll be right back.
Wow, that was fantastic. I love, really love the way he uses that, like that talk box, that classic Peter Frampton talk box, to kind of simulate the electronic vocals from the Daft Punk, the original track.
It's kind of a, you know, one of those, it's like an ace up your sleeve.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
yeah.
a musician. It's like one of those things you, you know, you've got to save and bring it out for the right moments. Right. And I think he brings it out at the right moment there.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really a master of his craft. And I love, you know, in his videos, he's always smiling. He's, I mean, I've never seen anyone happier to play metal.
I tell you what, one of the best versions I've ever seen was his tribute to the Trollolololol guy.
Oh,
he played the whole Trollolololol song on guitar, heavy metal style. It was brilliant, and he did the whole thing where he like walks from like stage left,
just like the guy. It's funny.
Yeah, yeah, it was great. It was great. I think he did a Nyan Cat cover as well.
Oh, did he really? You know what? I don't doubt it at all.
So yeah, he likes to embrace a lot of the geek culture stuff, yeah, as well as you know, some odd kind of mashup stuff as, mm-hmm, well. But he's totally brilliant at his craft, that's for, yeah, sure.
So that's Eric Calderon, and he's mainly on YouTube. I mean, he's got his own site, but really his YouTube channel is like his main sort of vector of communication with the public there. And,
absolutely, and he's got an iTunes page, and he's also on Facebook. And at some point, I really would like to see him start putting some of his stuff on Bandcamp.com.
Oh yeah,
be a great venue for him to put some of his original material there. So,
Greg, what have you prepared for us on the trailer side? I'm almost afraid.
Well. Mere days, I would say, if not days, then weeks, after the news that Osama bin Laden had been assassinated, it was announced that the powers that be in Hollywood were going to were already making plans for the motion picture describing the event.
Sure,
it seems
course.
A little weird to me.
That's
that
capitalism.
Less than a year after the assassination of Osama bin Laden, that we're going to get a movie about it. Yeah. It's just a little odd, you know? Anyway, this film, it's called Zero Dark Thirty, which I have to say is the most god-awful title I've ever heard of for a film ever. It's
wasn't that like the code name for the operation.
The team was called SEAL Team 6,
uh-huh,
and the operation was called Operation Neptune Spear.
Ah, so Zero Dark Thirty has nothing to do with...
I don't think so. I'd need to look into that a little more, but I think it's just the stupidest name ever. Why don't they just call... I mean, if it's going to be about Bin Laden, why don't they call it Bin Laden? I mean, wouldn't that attract more people to go? Anyway, I digress from that. I just want to preface this trailer with a little bit of background information for folks. First of all, I'll talk about my opinion about the whole Bin Laden thing after the trailer, because I don't want to tarnish it beforehand. But what I will tell you is this movie is being produced and distributed by a company called Participant Media.
Oh, sure.
Participant Media are known for two films in particular. They've done a bunch of films, but they are known for two films in particular. The first being Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth, and from a couple of years ago, that abortion of a film called Contagion, which was the worst attempt at propaganda I have ever seen or come across in my life.
I loved Contagion.
It was a terrible film, Andy. It was awful. You got halfway through. I mean, the first half of the film was great. Then you got halfway through the film and Sanjay Gupta shows up and it becomes like this, you know, vaccine propaganda fest. Like, never once in that film are they looking for a cure. Like, let's not help the people that are sick. We'll just bury them.
I felt that that movie was the most, most accurate feeling example of what an actual global contagion might look like.
I highly disagree with you.
Oh, wow. We're gonna have to agree to disagree on that.
Well, we can agree to disagree. I'm not gonna fight you on that. I mean, I know you you enjoyed the film, and I'm not gonna begrudge you that. I was highly disappointed in it. I did a review for it right here at GeeksOfDoom .com when it came out, and I tore the film to shreds. And the interesting thing was, as divided as I was about the film, when crossing out analyzing it, when I was reviewing it, the comments I received were also as divisive. I would imagine that it would, if you tallied it up, there were an equal number of people in the comments who couldn't stand what I was saying and actually liked the film, and another bunch of people who agreed with what I was saying and they hated the film.
I just want to say, like, in participants' defense, they've also produced and distributed a movie about the Chicago 10, The Cove, the movie about the dolphins in Japan who are being slaughtered by people who are interested in selling their, you know, their meat. Fast mm-hmm. Food Nation, Good Night and Good Luck, the movie about William R. Morrow. The Help.
Right. I know you're going down the list of some of the good movies, but what I'm trying to point out is that this is a company that are, they admit it themselves, they have a political agenda.
Yes. They lean liberal, for sure.
They have a political agenda. Now, I refuse to identify myself as conservative or liberal. I find myself somewhere in between all the time, and I find that a lot of the films that they put out, they don't have that disclaimer at the start of the film that they are a politically motivated film company.
Okay.
Okay. And so I have a lot of questions about this whole situation with the Osama bin Laden assassination to begin with.
All right.
And I feel that this whole film is just an exercise in propaganda. And that's just my position on it.
Okay.
So all I'm saying to people is, if you want to see the film, fantastic. And I hope you enjoy it. Go and see it. But please go in understanding that the film company that is behind it are a politically motivated company. And there's going to be a slant or a twist on the movie, very much in the same way that Fox would have a twist on Fox News, or MSNBC would have a twist on their channel from a liberal perspective. So it's not, it's probably not going to be an even-handed tale.
Well, I'll be honest. I have not seen this trailer yet, but I can't I can't imagine how, liberal or conservative, either way you look at it, I think both sides were interested in getting bin Laden, so I can't see how it would slant in a way that is not pro let's kill bin Laden. So
everyone wanted to get him out of the picture, didn't they? That's obvious, and I'm not arguing that point. The point I'm making is that there are still many questions about, like, for example, did you know many of the members that were in SEAL Team 6 were killed a couple of months after?
I was not aware of that.
You know, they were on a mission in Afghanistan and they were all taken out. So,
the other thing is
the American people never got any confirmation that it actually was him. You know, as soon as Hussein boys were killed, we got photos of that. As soon as Saddam Hussein was killed, we got photos of that. As soon as Gaddafi was killed, we got photos of that. And even Hillary Clinton was making statements about, we came, we saw, we killed him.
I seem to recall that the explanation for that was they did not want to incite or foment tension amongst people. They didn't want to make things worse, the tension to be worse amongst Muslim fundamentalists.
Why would that be any different for Bin Laden if it's like, if it's okay to release the photos of other tyrants, we say that, like your Gaddafis and all that have been dead. Why is it okay for those photos to be released and not for this one?
Because,
and, oh, by the way, he's at the bottom of the ocean somewhere.
Well, because with Gaddafi and Saddam, they were not; those people were not directly involved with Al Qaeda. This is the guy. Osama bin Laden is the guy who's directly involved with this murderous terrorist, you know, a clan. This cult, essentially. And that we've had, you know, significant issues with before. We did. I think they did not want to stir up the nest.
But they're still around. I mean, they haven't stopped Al Qaeda. They're still around in Syria, for example, causing trouble there right now. So, you know, I mean, how is it? I mean, my personal opinion is that we didn't get him. He's dead. He was already dead.
All right. Now you've got your tinfoil hat firmly in place on your head.
I thought he was already dead. I'm still of that opinion. And I know a few military guys who believe that he was taken out many years ago.
See, that could... I'll buy that. That maybe we did get him, but we got him a long time ago. Or maybe he just died of natural causes. He had some issues with his liver, I believe. He had some serious liver or kidney problems.
He was on dialysis all the time.
Yeah, so he could have died of natural causes a long time ago. Who knows? I don't know.
But I mean, that's the point I'm making. Is like we've had no confirmation, no real confirmation that the guy's dead and gone. Really, you know, there's still questions hovering over this event from last year. You know what? It's great if they took him out. I've got no problems with that. You know, the guy was, you know, he was behind, you know, the largest mass murder event in U.S. history.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I don't think anyone's would argue against his death, but I think a little confirmation for the American people would have been relevant. And so I have a lot of questions about the timing of this particular film. Being produced so quickly. It's like a PR stunt right from start to finish, from the moment it was announced that we got him right through to the release of this film. Ever since then, it's been a constant PR story. And if you read stuff as widely as I do, there's still a lot of unanswered questions about this whole situation. So anyway, the only point I was trying to make was this is a politically driven company that is putting this movie together. And so there's going to be a political agenda behind it. So just be aware of that if you're going to go see it. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
So here's the trailer.
We're spending billions of dollars. We are still no closer to defeating our enemy.
20 detainees recognize that photo.
No birth certificate, no cell phone. The guy's a ghost.
He's right in the inner circle.
The whole world's gonna want in on this.
I want targets.
Where was the last time you saw Bin Laden?
Oh my God, is that what I think it is?
Where was the last time you saw Bin Laden?
Looks interesting. I think that's more like a teaser trailer.
That is a teaser trailer. They do have an interesting cast, by the way. Brothers Joel and Nash Edgerton are in there. Jessica Chastain. I mean, and they've got the creative crew behind the Hurt Locker on this particular film as well. So you know, it couldn't. You know, maybe I'm tarnishing the mix with my doubts here, because it could turn out to be a fantastic film.
Do you know the original title of this movie?
What was the original title?
Kill Osama.
That's what it should. That's the, they should have kept that. That would have made millions. Well, they're going to make millions anyway. But I mean, it's a better title than Zero Dark Thirty. I mean, come on, that's a shit title, really. So, you know, I'm really interested in seeing how this one pans out. I'd be interested in seeing it, but
I'm going to see it for sure.
So, but I like I said before, I still have a lot of questions about the whole thing, and like for example, there's all kinds of questions regarding this the raid in Abbottabad where Bin Laden was taken out, and there's been numerous requests through the Freedom of Information Act by the press. For information related to the raid, and they're not releasing it. Mind you, there's a wonderful page at Wikipedia that's worth a laugh, and this is where you'll see that my tinfoil hat, even though I'm wearing one, is not as tight as what it is on some people's head. There's actually a page related to Osama bin Laden death conspiracy theories. So if you want a good laugh.
I think it's interesting. The other members of this cast are Mark Strong, who is always...
Oh, he's a great actor. Yeah,
he's always a great actor. Usually plays villains. I don't know who he plays in this one. And Chris Pratt, who is usually in comedies. You know, he's a regular on Parks and Recreation. And I think the only other thing that I remember seeing him in that wasn't a comedy was... drawing a blank, the movie with Brad Pitt about the baseball manager for the A's. What was that? Moneyball.
Oh, okay. I want to see it, but I don't know if I'm going to be running out to the theater. I'm going to be watching it with a critical eye and all that. So, I mean, I might like the film. I don't know. But, you know, I'm going to be going in with the knowledge that this is a company that, you know, has a political agenda to begin with. Hmm. So there you go.
All right. Well, I'm going to go in. I'm just going to take it at face value and see if it feels a little... I usually can tell when things feel a little, you know, like they have an agenda.
Andy, Contagion was agenda through and through, and you didn't pick up on it?
There were problems with Contagion, certainly, but I didn't feel that it was too heavy-handed on the agenda, as far as that goes. I liked it.
Not even with, like, Sanjay Gupta as himself?
I don't know who that is, really.
Come on. You guys couldn't afford an actor? Really? Come on.
I thought it was a good movie. It's Steven Soderbergh. He's an excellent director.
He dropped the ball on that one.
But anyway.
Anyway, before we come to blows, let's move on to some of the stuff that's been going on at geeksofdoom.com this week.
Uh-huh.
Andy, you've got some news for us for a film series that I'm sure, like me, has a warm, fuzzy place in your heart as well.
Yeah, no, this is, I mean, who doesn't love the Bill and Ted series? Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Bill and Ted's, what was it, Magic Journey? Bill and Ted something?
Oh, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Bogus Journey, yes. So now we're talking about Bill and Ted, number three, the second sequel to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, because both of the key players, Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter, there was never any doubt that Alex Winter would be on board, but Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter are both now on board, and they have a director signed to direct it, and it's Dean Parisot, who directed Galaxy Quest.
Perfect choice.
Yes, I think it's a perfect choice. Galaxy Quest is the right tone for this kind of film. The only thing that makes me a little nervous is if you look at Dean Parisot's other recent credits, he did film credits. He did Fun with Dick and Jane, the remake of the George Segal Jane Fonda movie with Jim Carrey. He did Home Fries with Drew Barrymore and Luke Wilson, which kind of like fell flat. He's done a lot of TV, which is good.
I was going to say, in all fairness, since Galaxy Quest, he's done a hell of a lot of TV on shows like Monk and ER and Curb Your Enthusiasm and that. So it may not be fair of us to come down too hard on him,
right?
Because of his diverse resume over the last few years.
And it may also be hard to screw up a Bill and Ted movie. They're kind of like a little loose as it is. So
I got to say, now I saw an interview recently with Alex Rinder that these guys, Alex and Keanu, had some strong motivation to do a third Bill and Ted because. These guys, it had been bouncing around for a few years that the possibility of doing a third movie. And I don't know if you recall, but about a year or 2 years ago, Andy, there was an announcement that came out that there was going to be a Bill and Ted remake, which was going to totally ruin. It was going to be like a reboot, and Wild Stallions was going to be completely nothing what it was originally was in the first couple of movies. It just totally would have ruined the whole thing. And so obviously that caught these guys' attention. And I saw an interview with him recently where when the script was in its early development phases, both Keanu and Alex were sitting there and helping the development of the story about. And so basically it's going to be, how do Bill and Ted deal with society as it is today? It didn't pan out the way they thought it was going to. They're kind of like a fish out of water. So the whole Galaxy Quest thing really fits in with this this mood that they've been expressing over the last couple of years.
Yeah. No, and so, it'd be nice to see Keanu Reeves do comedy again, basically, because he's been kind of stuck in this kind of serious science fiction or drama rut. I haven't seen him do a lot of comedy recently. It'd be nice to see him just cut loose a little, because to be honest, I'll be honest with you, I think that his role in the Bill and Ted movies is probably his best roles. Matrix aside, Matrix is good, but you didn't see a lot of stretching as an actor in that movie.
Oh no, not at all. I mean, it wasn't really. I mean, it was just, the way the story was structured, it was a very straightforward hero's journey tale. With Bill and Ted, it's sort of, it does have that hero's journey element to it, but it also comes with this big chunk of fun.
Right.
And the one thing that I'm really, the only thing I'm having doubts about for this movie is that, very sadly, we're not going to have George Carlin with us for this installment of the Bill and Ted film.
Right. Was he even in the second one?
Yes, he was.
He was in the second one.
Yeah, he was in both of them.
So. I'm sure that they'll have some way to explain that away. Some fitting tribute to him in a way, I'm sure. That'll be awesome. It'd be awesome to see those guys pick up those roles again.
Well, a lot of fun.
What do you have for us on Geeks of Doom?
Well, we were talking about divisive issues before, and I think this is going to become a divisive issue. I'm just judging this by initial feel at the moment. But there was an article posted by Badass over at Geeks of Doom on about the rumor that, it's being published by Variety, so take it as fact with a big boulder of salt, if you will. But it looks like that Warner Brothers is apparently grooming Ben Affleck to direct the eventual Justice League movie. Now, this has potential, but at the same time, I can see some people having some doubts about this, because Ben Affleck, in his history, has hit several home runs, but he's also hit several fouls as well.
Well, I really liked Gone Baby Gone, And I never saw the town, but I heard that like the town got kind of mixed reception. So I know he can direct.
And not to mention that he's also very good with the script writing side of things, as evidenced by Good Will Hunting, the work that he did with Matt Damon.
Academy Award winning.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it's not like he doesn't have the skills to do it.
Right.
You know, I'm just not sure about the accuracy behind the report by Variety. It'll be interesting to see where they go. Now, we've talked about the whole DC Universe thing on this show before, Andy, and you have said yourself that the people at Warner Brothers have said very clearly to the fans in you know, at Comic-Con that DC need to get their house in order before they can come up with a strong, consolidated franchise universe for the films in the way that Marvel have. And so I think they're still a fair few steps away from this. So, you know, there's the possibility that they may go forward with, you know, the current universe settings that they've got, or they may use the Man of Steel as a starting point to create a new universe. I kind of think that Nolan is going to stick around and kind of be like the godfather of the whole thing. I don't think he's going to direct any more of the DC Universe things, but I think he's going to, they're going to want to keep him involved in some way or form, because he totally reinvented the Batman series for them into a, you know, a cash cow for them at the box office.
Right. I mean, what they really need, like, first of all, we need to have the movie going audience needs to have confidence in general that that the DC Universe works. Then after that, what they really need is a powerhouse director like a Joss Whedon. It's an obvious comparison, but someone who is going to be able to not just bring in a Justice League movie, but make it hit on several different levels, you know, comedy, if that's the way they want to go. I would almost hate to see a movie that was too serious. I like the dose of comedy that Whedon injected into the Avengers.
Well, it's necessary with the characters.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, you know, and I mean, obviously, the tone of a Superman movie, for example, is going to be completely different from the tone of a Batman film. The characters are completely different.
Right.
So,
right.
I just think it's too early for, you know, a final decision on Justice League at this point in time. I mean, if they're really wanting to do a successful Justice League movie, they really need to pick things up for the DC Universe, you know, and see where things go from here.
Mm-hmm.
I can start talking about a Justice League movie. Otherwise, it's just going to be a disaster, you know, in my mind anyway.
Right. Nobody wants that.
No, I mean, it's. I would like to see. I'd like to see someone pick up the threads of the of Nolan's Dark Knight universe and create a new trilogy that kind of continues from that point. You know, like, you know, keep it in Nolan's universe, but let another accomplished director take the reins on that.
Yeah, you know? I just have a feeling that if Superman doesn't work, then it's probably, they're probably going to take a break from the whole DC universe for a while.
Superman will work. I can guarantee you that.
All right.
Killer team. They've got Nolan on production. They've got David S. Goyer, doing the writing on that. And they've got Zack Snyder directing, and you know, he cares about the content and he cares
Yes. I mean, yes, he does care about the content. But sometimes he can get too close to it, like Watchmen is a prime example.
But I like Watchmen.
Right. But a lot of people didn't. I mean,
Watchmen isn't for everyone, though. That's the thing.
Right.
I mean, if anybody made a Watchmen film and expected it to be like the best-selling movie in all time, they're on crack.
Right, but I'm sure...
It's like 300. That movie's not for everyone either. I think he's going to be perfect for Superman.
I'm sure Warner Brothers isn't intending to make a movie that's not for everyone. I'm sure that they really want to make a movie that's for everyone.
Right. Indeed. And so it really does hinge on that. What also, I think it also hinges on is where they're going to go with Green Lantern at this point, because Green Lantern wasn't as well received as what they originally had hoped it would be. So the question is where they're going to go with that. Are they going to go with the sequel that they said they were going to go ahead with, or are they going to do a reboot? Because there are some people out there that think they didn't really do Green Lantern very well. I'm kind of middle of the road on that one. I don't really have an opinion either way. I had a good time in the theater watching it, but I can see how, say, watching it on DVD might not necessarily be a stellar experience. And the script was, well, let's just say there were some things in there that should have been trimmed out to tighten it up a bit. So they do have a lot of work to go. I think it's still too early days to say to see, you know, a Justice League movie is definite. I mean, George Miller already had a try at it, and that failed, so... You know, we'll see how we go from here.
Wait, George Miller tried a Justice League movie?
Oh, yeah. Didn't you know about that? For years, he was trying to develop...
I thought you meant there was one released.
No. He was in development hell for years, and he was working with Warner Brothers on it, and they were even going to get the guy that plays Clark on Smallville involved in there as well. So they were going to try and have some continuity in there, but it just didn't pan out the way that they wanted it to. You know, some people wanted to go in different directions with Smallville, and, you know, Miller just got frustrated and said, you know what, I'm going to do my Mad Max prequel now, so see you later.
Wait, and that hasn't happened yet either.
He's working on it now. It's filming, actually. Let me get the details here. The guy that is playing Max.
Not Mel Gibson?
No, it's not. It's a prequel...
A prequel even to Mad Max?
Yes.
Ah.
It's called Fury Road. And Charlize Theron is in it. And Tom Hardy is Mad Max.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yes. But the cool thing about it is that George Miller is in on it. He's the guy that created Mad Max. And it's essentially supposed to be, from what I hear, a prequel that leads up to the events of... the first Mad Max. So it'll be interesting.
Will he do Mad Max in a weird Sean Connery-esque accent?
Australia will have its reckoning.
I don't know about that. A lot of people are making a lot of that his voice on The Dark Knight Rises. I find it amusing, actually. I think he's given a distinct voice to Bane, and I think that's important to the film. A lot of people are having... Kevin Smith did a piece on it. He was on Smodcast. It was highly amusing. He was, you know, yes, we need to go and get the Batman. You know, it just for some people it was out of place, but I think it's going to stick as time goes on, and eventually people will recognize it as iconic.
Yeah. I mean, it is definitely one of a kind, for sure. I dug it. Just, it was an interesting take, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier for me to accept that as Bane's voice than, like, for example, what Johnny Depp tried to do with Willy Wonka in the Tim Burton abortion of a remake of that movie.
Do you know, I've never seen that.
Oh,
I've never seen the remake. I've seen the original. I don't think I know of anyone that's not seen the original.
I'll tell you the only reason that I would the only reason I would recommend seeing that movie, and I think the strongest performer in that film is the little guy who plays all of the Oompa Loompas. I mean, that guy worked his ass off in that movie, and you can see it. I'm not joking. He should have gotten like an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. I swear to God, that guy.
Now, I always believed that Tim Burton should have, like, totally forgotten about Johnny Depp and gone with the original plan, and that was get Marilyn Manson to play Willy Wonka.
Oh,
that would have been like a brilliant gothic nightmarish version of it, and it would have been a completely different take. It would be a completely different movie. You know, it'd be interesting to see what that would have looked like. And of course, that was released during Manson's prime when he was controversial and, like, you know, people were kind of, what is this guy? He's kind of like satanic and weird. What is he?
Right.
You know, would have raised all kinds of questions. So, you know, he should have taken a gamble and gone with that.
I don't know that you actually want to scare kids, though.
What? Are you kidding? Have you seen Doctor Who?
What? Yeah.
It's designed to scare the shit out of kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, well, it has a moral ending, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah.
You know, the story was written by Roald Dahl. You know, all of his work comes with a moral outcome.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know,
he follows in the actual Grimm Brothers tradition. You know, of really dark morality tales, cautionary tales.
Yeah, Roald Dahl has been. Yeah, he's very much in some ways he has a bit of a Douglas Adams flavor to his writing as well. There's a lightheartedness aspect to it as well. He's another guy that I miss a lot. I'd like to see. I would have liked to have seen more work from him, but you know, sadly, it wasn't to be. Anyway, I think I've rambled on enough here, mate. I think we need to move on and talk about what's going on in the drill down.
On the drill down. Oh, okay. So this week on the drill down, hang on just a second, because I thought we were going to talk about Social Blend first. So I wasn't prepared. So this week on the drill down, we talked about a couple of major things that came up. It was kind of a slow news week, but there were a couple of major things. One of them is that Starbucks is pairing up with Square, the e-payment system. Starbucks is essentially letting Square run all of their payments. So coming up in the future, in the near future here, every time you go into a Starbucks, you'll be paying with Square, which means not only if you're... Does that mean if you're using cash and giving them the cash at the check stand there, they'll be using Square, doing Square to facilitate the payments, but also you can use Square on your iDevice to instantly pay for your Starbucks too. It's a major deal. I mean, it's not as big of a deal for Starbucks as it is for Square, and it effectively it effectively validates e-payments as a medium of payment for Starbucks to put so much money. They're pumping $25 million in investing in the company itself. Plus their Starbucks CEO is going to be on the Square board as well. So it's a major change for them. Also, Google is bringing their version of Siri to iOS. We kind of knew that was going to happen, that Google is going to not let Apple just get away with having their own voice-based answer system. Google has done so much research and back-end development into that sort of thing to begin with. We also talked about there was a Epic hack. One Wired reporter, Matt Honan, was hacked to get into his Twitter account, but by way of doing that, the hackers erased his iPhone, his iPad, his laptop.
Hey, Andy.
Yeah.
I'm going to really disagree with you on the choice of the term epic there. I'm going to put that one down to stupidity. Did you know the guy was using the same 7 alphanumeric password for 7 years?
Well, no, it wasn't. It wasn't that the hack itself was epic, but it was devastating for him.
Oh, it's epic devastation. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, but what was the epic about it was the epic fail of security that was going on with the Apple help people. You know, because they managed to get a temporary password for his account from them using simple social engineering.
Yes.
That's how they got in.
Yeah. Yeah, no. But you know what? The important thing about that story is it really does sort of highlight the fact that, you know, we could have, like, the tightest security, like, the tightest actual digital security involved, but in the long run, sometimes all it takes is somebody tricking somebody else at some customer support center into giving them your password. Like, the social engineering hack is something that I think gets overlooked or downplayed, and it is a serious vector for somebody to steal your identity. It's something.
Well,
even
as something as simple as, like, in your workplace, someone looking over your shoulder and watching you type in the keys on your keyboard, you know, that's an element of social engineering that you know, a lot of people overlook. And you know, the biggest problem is that for years we've had this emphasis on the mysterious hackers that do things digitally, and not enough emphasis has been placed on, you know, other real threats, that, like, non-digital threats that go into these hacking threats.
Right. We shouldn't take stuff for like that for granted in any case.
Absolutely.
So on the next episode of the Drill Down, we're going to be talking about what is supposedly a preview of the actual full body of the iPhone, of the new upcoming iPhone. And it doesn't have a glass back anymore. It's going to be a solid back, a unibody iPhone. We're going to be talking about Google's push to start punishing pirate sites in search results. Microsoft's their back and forth between what they're going to call their new Windows 8 interface, since they can't call it Metro because of some copyright infringement in Europe, and also a massive uncovering of a widespread surveillance system that the government is using. This was uncovered through emails hacked by Anonymous, so we'll be discussing that as well.
And WikiLeaks, it was like a joint venture.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are going to talk about that and the Google piracy thing on this week's Social Blend as well. So, you know, you're going to get double the coverage if you listen to both Social Blend and the Drill Down this week.
And what else are you going to be talking about?
Well, this week on Social Blend, we're also going to take a look at Romney, or as I like to call him, R Money. We're going to look at his VP pick. We're going to break down into that and work out what's going on there. And what else is going on with the world of Romney at the moment? We're going to have a look at some of the Olympic stuff. There's some interesting stuff still coming out about the coverage of the Olympics. Highly critical. I think the only country that's not getting criticized about Olympic coverage is the British coverage in the UK. Australia is getting criticized for the Olympic coverage. America's been covered, like the NBC. Got told to STFU by the Olympic officials during the boxing match the other day. So we'll probably have a look at some of that stuff, as well as following up on some of the Mara stuff and the Randy Blythe Lamb of God story as well. Previously on Social Blend last week, the title is Curiosity Blend Live from Mars, still available on the website at social-blend.com and on iTunes. Where we're joined by Mark Karras from Rock My Monkey and Brian Hill, where we talk about a whole bunch of things, including what Papa John's Pizza has to do with Obamacare. We talk about the law. Now, this is really interesting, Andy. You might be interested in this. We had a long discussion on the most recent episode of Social Blend about President Obama signing the Honoring America's Veterans Act, which essentially prohibits organizations like the Westboro Baptist Church from protesting military funerals or protesting within 300 feet of military funerals 2 hours before and 2 hours after.
Interesting. That sounds like a measure deliberately crafted for the Westboro Baptist Church.
Absolutely is. And I it essentially opens up a can of worms, because none of us on the show, by any stretch of the imagination, are supporters of the Westboro Baptist Church. As a matter of fact, we think they're a whole bunch of douchebags.
Yes.
But the question and concern that we have about this particular law is the precedent that it sets for the First Amendment, or against the First Amendment, shall we say. Because in this country of the United States of America, everyone has freedom of speech, even the douchebags.
Yes.
And so we really drilled down into that on this most recent episode. And, you know, it's probably one of the most interesting discussions we've had on the show in some time. And, you know, a lot of people have commented to me on that and really enjoyed the show. So if you haven't heard the latest Social Blend yet, folks, go and check it out and hear what the other people on the show have to say about the whole freedom of speech thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's really getting – it's a slippery slope. And I would much rather not – you know, I'd much rather let the Westboro Baptist Church do whatever they're going to do and not fiddle with our First Amendment rights than start a dangerous precedent.
Right, exactly. And besides, you know, allowing them to protest, you know, that just opens up all kinds of avenues for hilarity, like at Comic-Con a couple of years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? So anyway, that's what happened on Social Blend last week, and we'll be back again this week for another edition of Social Blend on Thursday morning. We record Wednesday nights, and we post the show early Thursday morning, and you can catch it at social-blend.com and on iTunes as well. Disquisition, we didn't do a disquisition last week, Lee Garnett and myself, but we will. We're hoping to get one done this week, but unfortunately, like the whole, I work at a college, so beginning of the semester, heavy workload at the moment, just there was no way we could get the show recorded this week. So we're hoping that we could get one recorded this coming week, and where we're going to discuss the interesting fallout that is occurring from Dig V1. So there we go. And where can we catch the drill down, mate?
Drill down is going to be we release our MP3 version on this on Fridays, so you can catch it on Friday morning just in time for your drive time. Load up your iPad or iPod or non-i Apple listening device and take it on the road. Yeah, Android, exactly. I don't want to discriminate against completely against other e-devices. So, and you can find it, of course, on geeksofdoom.com. And I guess that's it.
Yeah. I also want to mention that the podcasts that are available at Geeks of Doom, right in the very top right-hand corner, you can see the little avatars and album covers for each one. You can go ahead and click on any of those to subscribe to them if you're an iTunes subscriber, so be sure to check that out. Meanwhile, if you're interested in Social Blend or Disquisition, we have a big fat subscribe with iTunes link on each page of those sites, so you can click on that if you're going through the web, or if you search for us, we're pretty easy to find on the podcast app on that Apple has got out on the iDevices out there, so look us up. Okay, so hopefully We'll catch you either way next week. We're just not sure how it's going to be. It could be a Geeks of Doom roundup, or it could be a TARDIS blend. But either way, we're going to rock your fucking socks off.
There you go. And until next time,
Dilly Gaff.